What's up, everybody? Welcome to the pod. It is week 8. This is your week 8 recap. We are halfway through the season, if you include the playoffs. And if you're thinking to yourselves, man, these podcasts have aged better than I expected. By week 8, I was expecting to be begging Scott to go back to written formats. That makes two of us. But alas, here we are. Week 8, that means that Hank, the heart attack Hanks, have never been more alive. What a finish last night. Matt effectively rooting for Derek Anderson, for Nathan Peterman's replacement, Derek Anderson, to keep him alive. Hank with the Patriots D and a game full of field goals. A touchdown by the Bills that looked like it won the game for Matt, and then it gets called back, and you think to yourself, well, they're still in field goal range, and Matt only needs one more point, and then he's back in the money. Very next play, pick six for Hank's D. Utter chaos. Hank has done it again on a Monday night. Unbelievable. If the playoffs end today, and we'll get into this, but if the playoffs end or started today, Hank is in the sixth seed without a tiebreaker. That is unbelievable to me. Aditya is out. That is unbelievable to me. Second most exciting part of last night, honestly, what I thought would be the only photo finish last night was me and Aditya. The Polish Patriot showdown, the Kowskis going at it, proving once and for all that Gostkowski is the superior to Gronkowski. By the time it was halftime, I felt pretty good about this. I had like a 15-point lead going in. He had Gronk, I had Steven. We were texting yesterday to tell you where I was at. Aditya said he had a confidence factor of 5 out of 10. I said I had a confidence factor of 4 out of 10 before the game started. And 3 field goals in the first half, plus a missed one, missed 50-yarder that would have pretty much sealed it by halftime. Another couple and an extra point in the second half, and I ran away with it. I get to 6 wins. I join Trey there. Cole gets another win. He's at 7 wins, obviously. Still a game in the lead overall. He's still got that Blue Buttholes bye in hand with the big win over Anurag. Hank and Matt, we touched on. Me and DT, we touched on. Trey beat up on Chris. Chris was our low scorer the week. He was actually the only scorer below 100 this week, which is pretty unique. Usually we have a couple. And then Roe with the high points, winning the fake FHS matchup, 152 to Johnny's 123. Good effort by Johnny. That doesn't get him the win. So where do we stand with 5 weeks left in the regular season? Cole is a game in first with 7 wins. Chris and I, or Trey and I, have 6 wins. Roe hanging around with 5 wins. He is still leading in points. I think he increased his lead this week. And then with 4 wins, you have Hank, inexplicably, and Anurag. Aditya and Chris would be in the 7-8 matchup right now with 3 wins apiece. And then we skip a game. 2 games back, we've got Johnny and Matt after Matt fell to Hank in epic fashion. There is a world, and I want to point this out, where the heart attack Hanks never existed. And I guess that would get Matt an additional win, Aditya an additional win, and Johnny an additional win. And in that world, Aditya's 500 and in the playoffs. Matt and Johnny are tied at 2-6, just 1 game back of Chris. Of just Chris. And Hank is alone in last place at 1-7. And that's the world that feels way more correct, if we can say that. But you play to win the game. Hank has somehow done that. Hank has 150 fewer points scored than Aditya and is a full game ahead of him in the standings. But again, I'll say it one more time. Water finds its level. That tiebreaker is going to be important. I don't think that these standings hold. In fact, I don't think that Matt and Johnny play each other in the championship. That's my wager I'm willing to make right now. I don't think the playoffs are set. I don't think these 6 teams are the 6 that are in, and I don't think that the championship is set. Mark my words. The only thing that's guaranteed, nobody's clinched anything, but what we have ensured is Cole is now officially not going to be in the championship. He cannot mathematically end up there now that he has 7 wins. Not that anyone was worried about that, but that is the first guarantee that we can make mathematically coming down the stretch here. All right, so let's get into power rankings. This is tough this week. Put a lot of thought into this, which I don't historically do, as you can see and know. Put a lot of thought into this. It's going to be a tie. I'm giving Trey and Roe a tie at the top for 1A and 1B. Here's why. Trey, because he just rattled off his fourth straight win, and that's really hard to do. Well, I'll start here. They're the only two teams that have over 1,000 points for. Right now, that's a really handy number. They're the only two above 1,000. Trey's at 1,014. Roe's at 1,032, still in the lead. But Trey has rattled off four straight wins. That's really hard to do. His team has not blinked. Roe has scored more in the last 4 weeks. He's had an unbelievable 4 week tear, which I guess includes a loss in there, but I think he's been high points twice, including 152 this week. And he's the overall points leader, so it's hard to argue with that. In terms of a who would I want to play right now between the two, I guess I would choose Trey if I had to, but that doesn't comfort me at all. They're 1A, they're 1B. Third in the power rankings, it pains me, but I still got to give it to Cole. 7-1, that's just too much lead right now. There's only 5 weeks left. A one game lead is huge. I have the points lead over him and a tiebreaker. I'm hoping that that comes into play and that I can take the bye from him, but you can't argue with the fact that he just keeps winning. His one loss seemingly an aberration. Back at it with 119 this week. Cole's still weird. He's never won high points. He's not really on that list of 10 biggest, 10 highest scores or anything like that. But he scores slightly above average over and over and over again. And as long as he does that, he's going to win more games than not. I'll put myself fourth. Fifth. Man, now we just get into a mess. Like, it's not Hank. Maybe it's Aditya. It might be Aditya. Everybody else lost this week. Aditya is fifth. Aditya has scored 950 points, and he's on a five-game losing streak, and I'm putting him fifth in the power rankings. That's how confused I am. I don't know what that means, or I'm probably going to get just scolded for this. But honestly, I think he's the fifth best team in the league still. I see no reason why he's not. Another week where he scored basically an average number of points. He's still never scored below 100. Hanging around there, that he's consistently in it. I can't explain why he's lost five straight games, but I'm glad that I beat him. Sixth. I gotta give it to. I'll give it to Hank because he won this week. Hank is gonna be sixth this week. What I perceive to be a brief blip up into territory of making the playoffs. Fewest points scored all season. Everybody knows that. He keeps winning with. I guess actually, so this week is one of 2 weeks. And I need to be careful how I talk about Hank's team because I am self-aware here. This was one of 2 weeks where Hank scored an above-average number of points. The other week was when he scored 145 against me in week, what, two or three, and absolutely destroyed me. So I can say Hank's a bad team, knowing full well he deserved every bit of the win he got against me, and he probably deserved every bit of the win he got this week. It's the weeks where he's scoring 93 and getting a win that are pretty tough for me to swallow. But when he wins, we got to credit him. Sixth in the power rankings. Seven is Anurag. Still in the playoff picture, still 4-4. He's got the tiebreaker over Hank. He looks like he's in good shape. He's playing a reeling Aditya in the Battle of the Botnagers this weekend. If he gets to five wins and he puts Aditya down, it keeps Aditya at three wins. I don't really know who's going to catch him for that playoff spot down the stretch. With 4 games to go, he's got what could be a 2-game lead on a playoff spot. Who knows? Seventh, I think I'm on seven. God, I lose track of where I'm at. Seven, gonna be Chris. Chris's team still scores. I still don't think they're quite as bad as His record shows. I think he's got hope. He's playing Matt this week. If he can get to four wins, anybody's game. Eighth on the list. I don't think I have three teams left. I can't. I think Matt and Johnny are the only ones left. Ninth on the list. Johnny. Ninth on the list is Johnny because I really want Johnny to beat Cole this week. So this is a preemptive vote of confidence for Johnny. He got actually there's more reason than that. He got walloped by Roe, but he put up 123, and when Johnny puts up 123, we should all celebrate. More often than not, that should get you a win. It sucks, especially for Johnny and his record right now, that didn't get him a win this week, but I think it's a sign of hope. Even though he started to sell, who knows? Last on the power rankings, Matt, the carry on me, Jeffrey. After weeks of everyone coming on the podcast and saying he had the best name in the league, he changed his name and then gets beat on Monday night. That's about as low as it gets in this league right now. Matt somehow only still has one win. He's also behind Johnny in the points four tiebreaker. And he just traded for Hopkins? No, he just traded away Hopkins. Disregard. Would have been timely to mention that when I went through a tray, but there you go. There you have it. I may have forgotten someone or said someone twice or just ended up at the wrong number somewhere along the way, but there are your power rankings. So with that, we're gonna jump on into some Halloween interviews. What's up, Johnny? How you doing?
Good. Am I on the pod?
You're live on the pod.
Wow. Feels good.
You are 1-7. How good does it feel?
Yes. You know what? Considering I think I had the second highest points in the league this past week, I don't feel bad.
Really?
At this point in time, I
Yeah, I
mean,
guess
I
you
just
did,
think
yeah.
the playoffs are out of question. And I think I kind of knew that 2 weeks ago when I was at 0-6.
Right.
But so now it's just surviving the bowl, right? When I gave up Christian McCaffrey, it's all right. You got to try to survive the bowl. And I think seeing the way Matt performed this past week, Anuraga is another potential
Oh.
opponent in the bowl.
Anurag.
I feel good about my team. I feel good about the squad. I mean, I've got a couple buys coming up that I need to kind of manage.
Yeah, I think buys are about to bite us all. I think things are going to get really hard for a couple of weeks here, and we underestimate this.
Yeah, so I like for example, I think both of my tight ends were that I have on my roster will be on bye. I believe one of my running backs, so that will be a little tough.
It's all right. There's tons of tight ends out there. You can just grab any of them.
Yeah, whether one of them's good or not is another question altogether.
So buys might actually help you this coming week. So this weekend you're playing Cole, 1-7 versus 7-1. But Cole has David Johnson, not Dustin Johnson, OBJ and Andrew Luck all on bye, and
Wow.
Will Fuller is on IR. So four guys that started for Cole last week will not be playing this week for him when you face off.
Wow.
So you got that going for you.
Wow.
Plus, I think I can say this, everybody's rooting for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate
Like
that.
everybody.
You know what? Like what did hurt this weekend the most was seeing my boy Big Mike Evans drop 27 on me when, he was probably my number one wide receiver coming into the season. And Kenny Galladay getting me 2 points.
Yeah.
I really felt like I felt like I won that trade. But I guess another reason I feel good is Golden Tate just, hot take is now with the Eagles, which frees up Kenny Galladay as I mean, presumably their number two wide receiver for the Lions.
Interesting.
I mean, between obviously Marvin Jones will be there, but after that, it's Kenny Golladay.
Yeah.
So I only see that as a plus for me going forward.
Yeah, Matt and Stafford Kenny has Golladay. To throw 50 passes to somebody.
Yes, exactly. So, and again, you know, I know we had some discussions regarding tanking and all that. Yes, I am, you know, mortgaged, or I didn't mortgage. I let some, you know, assets go this year to improve my position and standing for next year. But I don't want to lose the bowl.
Right. Nobody wants
and
to
sing. No. And I really, the reason I think I feel good is that I think out of the non-playoff contenders, which I guess at this point in time is really just Matt and myself, but I feel like I have a good team and a team that can win that game, yeah. That can escape, you know, the bowl. So I'm feeling relatively good.
All right, that's fair. Yeah, so you're right. This was the second highest score you've put up all season. The two times that you've scored above the average in the league, which is like 115-ish, your opponents have scored over 150 against you.
Yes. That was against you, and that was against Rohan.
Absolutely devastating. What?
And I think I was looking on it, I think three of like the top six highest scores that we've had this season have been against me.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I think
I noticed that this week we passed an important, seemingly important threshold where your points against amount is no longer higher than everybody's points for amount.
Yes.
That's so like a very obscure way to look at it, and that probably makes no sense verbally. But in my head, this is like a aha moment. But you're still getting a shit ton of points scored against you.
Yes, I know. But it did feel nice that now I think I was at 1,014, and we had Rohan at 1,032.
Yeah,
and I think Trey was at like close, right around where mine was. But I was at second place, which was nice now that I was averaging a second place opponent versus, you know, first place opponent every single week.
Right.
So that was nice to know. I mean it didn't feel good losing, but when you have seven losses, you really try to look for moral wins or so that, to me, this was definitely a moral win. So
good
this past week.
All right, that's good enough. So let me paint the most positive picture I can for you and get your reaction
here.
So this week, let's say you go ahead and beat Cole, like we all know you will, and Matt, to make things interesting, beats Chris. Now you and Matt have two wins. Chris has three wins. And then let's say over the next 3 weeks, you, Matt, and Chris win and lose the same number of games. You stay within a game of Chris. Going into week 13, the last week of the season, you play Chris. And as of right now, you hold a 12-point tiebreaker over Chris.
Tiebreaker is points four, correct?
Yeah. So all you have to do is hold that points four. And then if you win week 13 against him, you could potentially put him in the bowl in the championship and throw yourself out of it.
Wow, that's a hell of a scenario.
I kind of like the sound of that.
I do really like the sound of that. I was, in a sense, kind of rooting for Matt this past week because it would have dropped, I think, the sixth place position, which would have been Hank.
Yep.
Down to three and five.
Yep.
Which would have put me two games away from playoff contention.
Yeah.
Which would have been just kind of nice to know, like, okay, with four or five games left in the season, there's still a chance.
Yeah.
But at this point in time, I just think there's not still a chance.
You also play Hank in 2 weeks. So if Hank was only at three wins right now, with the amount of points he's scoring –
Yes.
He would be the likely one that you could chase down, if anybody.
Yes. Yes. And look, I really appreciated your glass of water that was defying gravity as Hank's team, which I just, I mean, it's amazing every week. Hank is, I mean, he may be the team of destiny. I don't know, but there's...
If he gets a playoff win, I mean, if he makes the playoffs, that would just be like, okay, it's fantasy football and like the numbers never really mean wins like they should. But if he wins a playoff game, it would be like a disruption to the league in a way that would blow my mind.
Yes.
Like him getting into the final four... probably 250 points behind someone he's playing on the season.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost turmoil when you snuck into the playoffs
2 years ago.
What, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And then proceeded to make it to the finals. But you had, you know, you had a legitimately good team. And I'm saying Hank doesn't have a legitimately good team. But he just continues week after week to just find just like every little thread he can to build himself, you know, a win. And it's just, it's impressive. It's fun to watch, to be honest.
It is. It's also a little bit infuriating because you worry like, whose spot is he going to take? And I guess if I, if I look at it from the perspective of I'm probably going to make the playoffs, then I should be hoping that the rest of the playoff field is the worst teams possible. So like I should be rooting for Hank to get in, but it just doesn't feel right. Like it's, I don't know. Just, he shouldn't win. And here he is. And
I mean, if he does sneak in or continue sort of sneaking in the fashion that he has, I would be worried to play him, just not out of like any sort of factual,
just mojo. Yeah. Sort
of, yes. Out of just the fact that this guy, somehow is in a position, is it a playoff team?
Yeah.
And, you know, has continually just taken things from the, you know, the jaws of defeat.
Yeah. I was worried when I opened up our matchup this week, because I play him this week, and I was worried looking for who does he have on Monday night. I was genuinely nervous about it for that reason alone. It was purely superstition.
Yeah. And I guess I would also say, looking at your power rankings, I'm in seventh. I bumped up to seventh. I don't even know how that happened.
You put up 123. You put up real points. You outscored. So me, Hank, and Cole all won with 119 points. You outscored us despite not getting a win, and it's probably something along those lines.
It must have been. I mean, who knows what will happen next week? I might be back down to the bottom. But
yeah, as it turns out, we don't actually know what's going to happen at any given point in time. It's weird.
Yes.
what would you? Here's a question for you. So we're talking. You brought this up that the text thread got a little heated about, you know, how much should we be able to sell next year, sell this year for next year, things like that. Aside from like the morality of it all, what would you pay in auction dollars for a win? Like, not necessarily you right now, because you're in the mode of selling. But, like, you know, if all of us were 4-4 right now, everything was dead even, what would you pay for a win in auction dollars? Like, a guaranteed win, not, like,
win.
Pay for a player that hopefully increases your chances. You get a win.
I would probably put between 5 to 10 auction dollars for a win.
Okay. Yeah, it's really hard because you obviously can't pick a number that's more than 200 divided by 13 or something like that, right? Like you run into limits somewhere. But for one win, I don't know. From time to time in the history of our league, what do you think? Like I guess I needed a win last year to get into the playoffs. I probably would have had a really high number if you'd asked me at that point in time.
Yeah, and it depends on, you know, you said 4-4, right? We're right at, you know, we're not in the middle of the season, but we're right just having crossed over the middle of the season.
Yeah.
That does factor in, you know, would I pay any auction dollars at the start of the season for a win? Likely not, right?
Right. What if that scenario comes true and you and Chris, if you win week 13, you're out of the bowl and he's in it?
There is a part of me, just not out of any reason or logic, but out of just pure, like, I want to put my balls on the table and say zero option dollars. I would pay anything.
What?
Just to say.
I thought you were going the other way. I thought you were ready to throw 200 down.
No. I would say, you know, I mean, I guess it also depends on how, like, the scenario that you painted, I need to win some games to get there.
Right.
And in that sense, I think I'm feeling fairly good about my team coming in, at least versus Chris's team, who needs to lose more games than me. So there is a part of me that just will say, you know, fuck it. No, I'm not, you know.
Yeah, not going to let the terrorists win.
Anything.
Right.
But, I mean, that is a good question. It definitely does depend on this, you know, the scenario, the timing, you know, where you are in the standings, about, you know, what would you pay for an auction, you know, what would you pay for a win in auction dollars?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think any given day when all else is equal, I still think it's probably, for me, between $5 and $10.
Okay, that makes sense. A run-of-the-mill win is somewhere around $5 to $10.
I mean, because I don't want to.
A win that gets you, in, you know, in week 13, a win that would get you in or out of the playoffs would be, I would think, 4 or 5 times that. And a win that would get you in or out of the championship, I would think, would be, I don't know, 2 or 3 times that.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean,
you just have, like, the evaluating that risk is what changes.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I
actually
guess
translates to a real trade.
Like, for example, if we want to, you know, look at our 13 game season, say I want to pay for 7 wins, right? I guarantee I have a winning record by the end of the season, and then say and roll the dice on those last 6. You know, that means I'm paying roughly a little over 50 auction dollars, if I want to say 7.5 auction dollars per win.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd mind paying over 50 auction dollars to guarantee a winning season, plus, you know, having the potential to either go 6-0 or 0-6 or 3-3.
Right. Yeah.
You know, where those other 6 games are variable.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Last question before I let you go. Can I get Halloween costumes?
So my girlfriend, Kristen Bouchard, has a puppy who she has,
adorable.
Big pumpkin. Adorable. Absolutely adorable. Yeah.
But, and not to be, I don't like that I have to say this, but I feel it's my duty. Kind of puntable?
Oh, absolutely puntable.
Okay,
and perfect,
right.
Kind of like weight.
Yes.
You know, it's decent, like amount of heft.
But also probably a little bit like a wiffle ball where, like, it seems harmless. You know, you wouldn't actually go that far. You'd put a lot of force into it and it wouldn't actually go that far.
No, it wouldn't. It would just kind of sputter around.
Yeah,
but,
adorably.
You know, yes, exactly. Until it crashes to the ground. But,
yeah.
You know, those few seconds it's fluttering up in the air, you know, it's quite adorable.
Beautiful.
But that puppy, Kristen got a pumpkin costume for.
Okay.
So we will be a pumpkin patch, and all be pumpkins together.
Nice.
Other than that, I really have not thought of Halloween costumes.
You could actually just wear like a t-shirt and shorts, and it would still, like, people would just come up to you and be like, ooh, ah. Like,
you'd
still win Halloween even if you didn't do anything. So, great costume. Is what I'm saying.
You have any costume ideas?
I don't. Somebody asked me this at work today, and I was like, whoa, no, hadn't thought, I'm not there yet. So I'm crowdsourcing tonight.
Ah. One of my favorites that was super easy that I did in college was Cat Out of the Bag, which was literally me taking a grocery bag, kind of using it as like having a shirt on, but using the bag as like a shirt and wrapping around my waist and then just kind of catting up my face very simply. Oh, nice. And did nothing. And I just would recommend puns in general.
Yeah. Idioms.
People seem to really enjoy those. Idioms are idioms.
Yep.
So, and you can usually be pretty simple with that. And the cleverness in the pun or the idiom itself kind of allows you to get away without doing much work.
Perfect. All right. That's the leader in the clubhouse so far. I'm going to let you run.
Yes.
But it's been a pleasure. Beat the shit out of Cole for us.
Trust me. I'm going to curb stomp his ass. Really. That's just what's going to happen at the end of the day.
Perfect.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you later.
See you, man.
See ya.
Come on, man.
What's going on, Cole? How's dinner?
Dude, it's really good. Got a couple more bites, but it's going well.
Okay. You take your time. I'm going to read you some numbers while you eat, and I want you to just think about what I'm reading you and tell me what I read you.
I'm about to say it.
Okay. 37, 48, 31, 71, 55, 54, 39, 59.
Are these somebody's bench points?
I'll add some more numbers to it. This is a similar related category. 33, 30, 41, 16, 15, 31, 41.
Once again, bench points?
The first eight numbers were David Johnson's rushing totals in his first eight games this season. The second eight were his receiving totals.
Okay.
You heard one number over 70. You heard three more over 50. You heard a bunch of numbers that averaged to 49. And then a second set of numbers that averaged to 25.
Okay.
That's it. There's no question. I'm just,
filling it. Yeah,
filling time. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. All right.
What are you eating? What's for dinner?
I got an omelet, avocados, and broccoli.
Ooh, what's in the omelet?
Just some pepper, cheese, red flakes. Nothing too crazy.
Sounds delicious. Did you make enough for everybody?
Yeah, but it's gone now, so everybody didn't show up in time.
I'm going to jot that down as recipe of the week.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to take the cake. It's not Matt's deconstructed salmon succotash or whatever the hell that was.
His butter squash, whatever?
Yeah, but it'll do. It's a common man's recipe of the week. That's what we're looking for.
Exactly. Anyways. It's delicious, though.
You beat Onorog this week.
Mm-hmm. That I did.
How do you know? Like, wins are just emotionless to you at this point, aren't they?
I mean, they seem to be coming, every now and then. Right. I'll say, I was rooting for Onorog. Hmm. I was rooting for Onorog.
No, you weren't.
No, I mean, I wasn't. It's entirely true, but it's also not entirely false. I like Onorog's team. I mean, the fact that James Conner put up 35 is a little egregious. He's hasn't sold his soul to the devil. So from that aspect,
wow,
I respect him.
Why don't you just come out and say it, Cole?
I'm pissed at Trey for selling his soul to the devil. I don't know what you sold your soul for, but it doesn't scare me.
Okay,
Trey's team now scares me.
I'm just glad you're not upset with me.
Uh-uh. Scott, I can never be upset with you. I can never be upset with you. I can never be upset with you.
Well, good. Okay, so talk more about your opinion of deals with the devil.
My opinion of deals with the devil. I think that because it was so lopsided this year and people were so out of it so quickly, it incentivized people to do this.
And it's become a pretty weird world, because now if I like want to talk trade with anybody, it's like almost assumed that I need to give up, you know, auction dollars.
Yeah, we don't even start with like player for player.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, well, how many auction dollars are you going to give? It's really the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, and you can now really only like, if you're like, oh, I'm interested in this position, you immediately look to the...
The bottom dwellers.
Yeah, the four people that are in the opposite position you are as buyer or seller.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's crazy. It was the best of times and it was the worst of times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hope is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I came out and asked Johnny this on the pod earlier. What do you think the dollar rate is for a win?
Like, when you say that, do you mean like, if I had to give up a certain amount of auction dollars next year for a win, how much would I give up?
Yeah.
That's tough.
And you know, so I asked Johnny, who has one win, and I'm asking you, who have seven wins, you could just say like I mean you can account for it however you want. Hypothetically, I told Johnny, if all of us were 4-4 going into week 9, how much would you pay for a win?
Yeah. Well, I guess here's the thing, right? Is that like it's not a binary thing, cuz it's like in Pokemon. When you buy all, you cheat in blue version, you get all the rare candies and you can level everybody up to level 100, but they're not as strong if you had done it, you know, the old-fashioned way through hard work and grit.
Interesting.
So, like, you could buy your way to the playoffs, but unless you can buy your way to the championship and the win, like, you don't want to drag a garbage team to the playoffs.
Okay.
Because then you've just, yeah.
All right, so let me put it this way. You and I are going to play week 13.
It's big, man. I'm excited.
There's a chance that the first round bye is on the line.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I was like, what's the actual chance that you and me both win out into that game? I feel like there's no way that happens.
I think it's more likely that we each lose one or two games on different weeks.
And then we're still in the same situation.
But we end up a game apart at the end, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, unless...
How much would you pay to get a win that guarantees a first-round bye? Which is almost like buying two wins.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, with my team, I'm like, I believe in my team. So, like,
there's
it's
a problem.
I guess so. You know, it's 7-1. You just can't not believe in your team. You know what I'm saying? It's not all luck. I'm out here winning games. But I see. I don't know, to guarantee the first round bye. I don't know. Maybe like. 15?
Yeah.
15 auction dollars?
Yeah, I think when you can, like, when there's an outcome of the win, like getting a bye, avoiding the championship, or avoiding the championship, making the playoffs, something like that. Yeah. 15, 20, somewhere in there. Like, but even then, you have a good point that, like, it's sort of hollow.
It's completely arbitrary, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, none of us actually know.
Yeah, I have no idea, and you know, while I have not partaken in the selling of thy soul, I've definitely like talked to people about dollar amounts, and my dollar amounts were nowhere near what ended up being the dollar amounts that got deals done.
Yeah.
So clearly, I either value auction dollars less. Or people are improperly valuing auction dollars.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, we have no fucking idea. And it just sounds really cool to say you've got Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins. So.
Yeah. Jokes on Trey. Now Demaryius Thomas is there.
Yeah. But, I mean, Will Fuller's gone. So.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's. I mean, D-Hop's still gonna get his. He just looks phenomenal, man. Like let me tell you. Chris was playing against Trey. This was last week, right? This was this week.
Yeah,
yeah. And Chris like stayed up till basically halfway through the fourth quarter, and D-Hop had like 2 points, and Chris was like, "I'm going to bed," and Like, dude, if you go to bed, Hopkins is going to go off. And he's like, nah, man, it's over. It's over. And I guess Chris just couldn't stand up and hold off D-Hop for just a little bit longer, because in those last 7.5 minutes, he put up 20 points.
Yeah. His swag alone is enough to intimidate.
Oh, yeah. There's no facial expressions.
Yeah.
Like, he'll catch a 50-yard bomb, and he'll act like it was like a 2-yard dump off that went for, you know, 3 yards.
Yeah. Even his press conference talking about that catch that got called back.
Oh, the hamstring catch?
Yeah, he was just like cool, calm, and collected. Swag on 1,000. Just, yeah. I'm going to score a bunch of points. I'm going to get a bunch of catches and touchdowns. And
I don't care.
I know that. Surprised you don't know that. Yeah.
Like, next question.
Yeah. Here's a good question for you. I'm reading a book. I'll just ask the question, and then I'll explain the book. How certain are you that we're right about gravity?
I'm going to go with, what do you mean by right about gravity, I guess is my
like that our current understanding, question. Our current understanding of gravity, if you could zoom out to the end of the universe and get like the answer book at the end of time, that would still be like the understanding of gravity.
Yeah. I don't think we're there. I don't think we're there. I mean, what was the big project that just proved, you know, it was like a year or two ago, maybe 3 years ago at this point, that proved gravitational, the two colliding black holes caused gravitational waves.
Yeah.
That was, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. That was the first time we've ever detected it. There's just so much that we don't know. You know, ever since, what was it, 10th grade, Mr. Stapleton, pulling this out of my ass.
Ooh,
Flatland.
DJ Stapleton. That's right, Flatland, yes.
Yes, Flatland. That just really, I think that set me down a course in life that there's no going back from.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm not going to ever say that we're 100% right on anything until, you know, I'm at the end of that maze that you have said, and I have all the answers. What is your point? Is there like a theory out there that says now that we've got gravity wrong? I mean, gravity is fascinating, right? Because it's this the farthest reaching force in the universe, but it's not very strong.
Yeah, and it's also like, it's an interesting topic to like make into a hypothetical question, because it can mean as little to someone as like an apple falling from a tree, and as much to someone as like the universe expanding and maybe not having a center, and like, you know, you get really ethereal and you're still actually just talking about gravity. So, I started reading this book this week called What If We're Wrong? And it's by Chuck Klosterman. Would recommend it so far. I'm one chapter in. But his thesis is like every generation has been wrong about a major facet of their understanding of the world. And every, like, even if you zoom out farther, like every millennia has been wrong about an even bigger facet of the world. So he uses in his like introduction, he uses gravity as like something simple that, you know, most people, like, you can debate string theory and stuff like this, but most people are like, yeah, we're on pretty firm ground with gravity.
Pun intended.
Exactly, yeah. And he uses that as like a logical centerpiece to his thesis that like we're probably wrong about a bunch of things, and then the rest of the book presumably is him like taking topics one at a time and saying, if we're wrong about this one, what does that mean?
What does that mean for, you know, whatever else
befalls? Right. How, in what ways could we be wrong? Yeah, how can we imagine what is right? Things like that. So I read that this morning and I was like, shit, I'm gonna ask Cole about that.
I love it. Hold on. Wait for it. What is the book called?
What If We're Wrong?
What If We're Wrong. Okay. I just bought it on Amazon.
Cool. Yeah, it's good.
I'll read that. Maybe we can look on the pod, or just, you know, maybe we just have a normal call and we can just talk about it.
Yeah, a little book club.
A little book club. I've been meaning to start one of those, because I feel like they'd be cool, but I just read so damn slowly.
Yeah. I look, I'm actually going to come out and say it. I'm going the audiobook route.
Oh, love it. Yeah. Love it. That's good.
I don't think
that's
there's good. Any shame in it either.
No, I mean, I listen to a ton of podcasts and I derive just as much information and, you know, utils from them.
Yeah.
As I do from reading a book. Although there's something to be said about just sitting down and looking at it. I still buy paperback. I love the feel.
Yeah, nobody buys a hardcover.
Yeah, but I also haven't switched to Kindle. That's what I'm saying.
It seems
like that would be much more logical. I mean, yeah. You put millions of books on, like, you know, one little thin piece of thing. But I love the feel of paperback.
No, if my eyes are going through the motions, you better believe it's going to be real paper.
Yeah, you're damn right. Yeah. You're damn right.
Yeah, the trees will replace themselves. I'm not worried about that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Speaking of being wrong about something, I was very wrong, it seems, of Sonny Michel's diagnosis.
Yeah, what do you mean? He's like, okay.
Yeah, he was doubtful last night, but he's questionable for next week.
Yeah, I don't think he plays this week because then they got a bye after that. But I think he comes back after that. I mean, they didn't go out and sign another running back. So, like, clearly they think he's going to be back. Also, sorry, Anurag. What's the New England's Barner?
Anurag started Kenjon Barner, who I took note of this last night. Previous to yesterday's game when Anurag started him, he had touched the football 16 times this season.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was – well, so, I mean, to his credit, I was thinking I was down like 18 going into last night. And I was like, I probably got this locked up. But, like, yeah, Sonny Michel's out, and Sonny Michel was a workhorse.
Yeah.
Until the very first play where Cordarrelle Patterson lined up as the running back. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is in the bag.
Yeah, sorry, Ken John or whatever your name is. Okay, yeah, so it looks like you're going to get Sonny Michel. But David Johnson's on bye, OBJ's on bye, Andrew Luck's on bye, Will Fuller's on IR.
Oh, no, I don't think I'm going to get Sonny Michel. I think I'm
– oh, that's true. Eventually you will. I guess this week you won't.
Yeah, no, this week I've got a tough matchup, man. A lot of people – I think I'm going the double skins. Watch it out. RB1, RB2. Get your Thompson and Peterson.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, dude, to be fair, man, people have, I think, been sleeping on Peterson basically this whole year. He's definitely a RB top 10 now after this week. He might be right at 10.
Yeah, I've regained my respect for him.
I think he is still very good, and actually I think, sneakily, the Redskins' O-line is one of the best O-lines in the league, at least from a run perspective.
I'll agree with both of those assertions, so long as you promise not to use this as some sort of rhetorical argument that if a running back were to leave the Cardinals offense, he would suddenly revive his career, because that is not how this works.
Dude, no, actually, I was pretty stoked with David Johnson's performance this weekend. They got him the ball a ton more. He only ended up with 12 points with no TDs. That's a solid week. And on the game-winning drive, he wasn't on it because he was being evaluated for concussion. So that would have been at least a couple more points, if not a shot at the end zone. So I was actually very pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
That they really did, Byron Leftwich, God bless his soul, really did hone in on kind of trying to get him the ball.
God, Byron Leftwich. I can't believe that's a name that we're saying again in this world.
I know. But the Njoku putting up 0 points for me was also just amazing.
Yeah, tight end scarcity is only becoming a bigger problem.
It's wild because he's like a top five tight end going into projections now. I mean, pre this week, I think he was like tight end 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And you're telling me like no position rank 5 should get you 0 points. Like maybe they have an off week, but it shouldn't be 0.
Yeah, that's true. He now doesn't have a coach.
Yeah.
And he has a gunslinger rookie, maybe moral compassless quarterback at the helm now without a coach. Like, Njoku could score anywhere from 0 to 100 points next week, and I'd be like, yep, that's the current state of the Browns.
Yeah, exactly. Baker might go out and be like, I'm only throwing to the 6'5" extremely athletic tight end. That's all I'm throwing to all day. Or he could be like, yo, fuck that guy's last name.
Right.
Njoku? Yeah, I'm never throwing to that guy.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like he's from the Midwest. I can't trust him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, it's an interesting situation I find myself in. What's funny is that I paid all that money to get Trey Boo Boo, and I have yet to start him since acquiring him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he didn't.
That might be a good thing. It's not like you're missing out on that.
No, no. I mean, last week he put up like 23, 24. And then Njoku put up like 18. So, like, you're never going to be like that upset with that call. But, you know, it's more points versus less.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about Bell? What do you think's happening? Do you think he comes back tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yes. You do think he comes back tomorrow?
He comes back, he eases into it, and he probably doesn't ever practice a full week.
Yeah, for his sake, he should probably do that.
He's going to come up he's going to do what who's the was it Earl Thomas? Was the Seahawks safety that?
Oh, yeah.
He was like, I have a headache. I'm not practicing. You can't make me practice any towards ACL or whatever, sadly. But yeah. I think he's going to go that route of, like, I'm going to do everything I can to protect myself.
And he should. I feel like he should.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm more in favor of the players these days, but I'm not fully there yet. And it doesn't, like, what's working against him is that James Conner is proving he's a product of the system, and his value is going down. His value has gone down since, like, week two.
No, it definitely has. I don't think Bell's a product of the system. I think when you look at those two and the way they run, you're like, this system is a pretty good system, and James Conner is just taking advantage of it. When you watch Bell run, he's just like, what he's doing, nobody else can do.
Correct, yeah.
Maybe he goes to a really shitty offense, and, you know, like the Cardinals, and he's not as good, but he's still serviceable. Like, he's still gonna, like, he puts moves on people that no one else can make.
Yeah, and he has a chance to get some guaranteed money more than historically was the case in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, so another reason I'm pro Bell on this is that the running back position in particular now has, like, you're a rookie, and people expect you to be amazing as a rookie, and you've got one deal. You know, like, once your rookie deal is up, you get maybe one deal. And so that's where Bell is. He's like, this is my one deal. Like, freaking sign me. Like, this is the only deal I get.
Yeah, and if you get franchise tagged a couple times, depending on your situation coming out of college, you might be 30, which is just the number where somebody stops paying attention to you.
Yeah. I mean, look at AP.
Yeah.
Look at AP. He's 32, 33. Like,
yeah, but he has fresh legs because he beat his son, so.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's what
he's got the legs of a 29-year-old because
exactly.
He whipped a 5-year-old, so.
Exactly. And the body of a Greek god.
Yeah, that's true, too. Okay, last question before I let you go. You got any good Halloween costumes?
So I'm actually, we've had this entire call, I'm wearing a leprechaun hat at the moment. I am going to be Lucky from Lucky Charms tomorrow at work. Nice. We're all dressing up as different serial characters.
Okay.
So is that a good costume? No. Does it answer your question? Maybe.
I think it works in a group setting.
It works in a what? Oh, yeah, no, exactly. I think so, too.
Yeah, if you were going, like, Lone Ranger with that, I'd be like, 6 months from now, that gets its own day. Just wait. But
yeah, no, but we're all going to be different.
Okay.
Serial characters. That's probably good.
All right. Well, you have fun with that. That well qualifies. Have fun with that. And then do me a favor and lose to Johnny.
I cannot promise you that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But okay. I will see you week 13.
Week 13. Game on. All right. We'll talk to you then.
All right, man. You have a good one.
See ya.
Yo.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Pretty good.
Sorry I'm late. Cole would not shut up.
No worries, man.
Congrats on High Points.
Thank you. So, finally. Also, excuse the sounds of New York. I'm walking.
It's all right. I'm glad we have you in your element. This sounds like really authentic now.
Probably hear a lot of sirens, loud noises.
It's just good. It actually just sounds like you're playing like a YouTube video of city street noise. How was yoga?
Yoga was fantastic.
Are you a regular yogi?
So I try and go once a week. Sometimes
really?
I'm better. Yeah. So there's this studio. They offer like the monthly pass is super expensive. So I kind of just pay for like five classes or 10 classes at a time. And I'll go through the five. I'll be like, all right, this is too expensive. And then like 2 weeks later, I'll sign up for another five. So I'm probably not maximizing my value, but I feel fantastic after. So
sell me on yoga.
Just keep going. Get some mindfulness.
Okay.
Good for flexibility. I do hot yoga, so it's like it's a good workout. You get some sweat going. And honestly, it's just like an hour. Like, it's like a workout, but I feel like I'm accomplishing a bunch of different things between.
Interesting.
Yeah. You should try it.
Okay. Yeah, I've actually just never tried it at all. And that sounds even dumber when I say that. Yeah, I should give it a shot. Okay, you're on a bit of a hot streak here. You've had a big couple of weeks. Since we last talked, you passed Cole, Trey, and Aditya in points four. You're now on top there. You've had a couple of big wins. You were high points this week. And you're a game back from Trey. How are you feeling about your season now?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good right now. I have a few big names on bye this week against Trey, so I'm already anticipating the L there. But it was a big week against Johnny, who also put up like 125. So
yeah,
it's not
Johnny gave you a scare.
It's not like I was coasting in, but I feel like that's been the theme this whole season. I think my points against is pretty high. It's like second or third most. And I've just been putting up a few more points here and there. So
yeah. Man, you're right. Your bye this week is brutal. Joe Mixon, Saquon Barkley, and Marlon Mack.
Yeah.
Who last week accounted for 69 points for you.
Oh, the trio?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's gonna be tough to replace, unfortunately. But it's okay. I didn't really, if I was gonna lose 1 week and have all my players on bye, I would have those three guys on bye and be going up against Trey, who I feel like is just gonna steamroll everybody. But I was glad to finally see your model gave me some credit and I'm back in the ship and division winner. So I'm not
sure
if that's gonna play out. But
yeah, the model clearly isn't looking at buys or matchups. So you're not too worried about the bye at the first round bye.
No. I don't know if I'm gonna get that. I was talking about buys, like my players on bye.
Right. But
so,
you said if you were gonna lose, you would
I'd rather have all my players on bye like the same week.
Right.
So
it just
at least
to
I
me it stinks that
gonna...
it stinks that it's to Trey because. Now you're gonna. You could potentially be two games back of Trey for the bye with four to play.
I don't know if I'm gonna get the first round bye, unfortunately. But who knows? Maybe I'll make another deal this week and will and deal my way to a victory.
True.
I would say the Mike Evans, Kenny Golladay, Kittle trade definitely benefited me this week, but I'd say with Tate being traded, you know, I think Johnny's gonna have some good future value coming his way. So
yeah, Johnny mentioned that tonight too. And that trade really did pay some dividends in all directions this week with Mike Evans
and
George Kittle.
I would have lost this week for sure because I probably would have played Golladay, and if Johnny had Mike Evans too, he would have screwed me. So
yeah, that's true. Okay, so you, in the text thread, you were a little bit outspoken, in I think a really good way. You made some really good points, and I want to give you a little bit of a platform to expound upon them. I'll ask the question this way, but feel free to take it any direction you want. If you were commissioner for a day, and the consequences of your actions you were not going to be held accountable for, what changes would you make as commissioner for a day?
Sorry, cut out there at the end. What decisions?
Yeah, what actions would your day as commissioner include?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Sorry, there was like some static.
Oh, sorry.
Decisions as commissioner of the league.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, the biggest thing for me is how do we figure out the value of a dollar, because I think there are a lot of aspects to the league that I really like, but I also feel like I'm in a weird spot in that I feel like I have a really good team this year. I'm not sure if I want to mortgage my, you know, next season to like pick up a player this year, but I feel like if I don't, you know, maybe I'll end up like third or fourth this year and not make any money, and then next year I'm not really at an advantage either. I mean, maybe, depending on who my keepers would be, but I don't have, like, massive money either.
Right.
So I just settle into this, you know, I liken it to, like, the Wizards in the Eastern Conference, just always being, like, the fourth or fifth seed, never competing for the title, but also not, like, being in rebuild mode either. So,
right.
I don't know. We'll see. As I said in the text thread, I don't think there's a perfect solution necessarily, but I think there are certain things like the stuff we talked about keeping two players, and if you get the $10 or whatever bump there is, like that would definitely affect me and who I would keep right now. I know that for a fact. So I think there are things we can do, but
yeah,
I haven't figured it out yet. So honestly, no big changes as commish.
Okay.
You're doing a fantastic job.
I wasn't fishing for that, but that's fair. And I think you're right.
I'll give you the credit.
I think one of the better, one of my more interesting takeaways from that text discussion was capping the amount of dollars that any team could give or take in a year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it all depends, right? Like, I think coming out of the draft, there were certain teams that definitely looked great, and they still do. And there are other teams where, you know, you make moves over the course of the season and can alter that. It's just like, what baseline do we have? And I think, like,
yeah,
I mean, we'll obviously see next year, but unless Johnny is just terrible as a GM, I think he should be set up pretty well.
Right.
So,
with the flip side, I was thinking about this just like in the last couple of minutes. I haven't totally fleshed this out.
He must be a crazy chicken.
What's going on that street?
I don't know. Some guy's talking about crazy chicks. Chicken Mac. I don't know what he was talking about.
So if I told you, let's say that you bumped your head real hard tonight and you didn't remember anything prior to the start of this fantasy football season. I'll put it that way.
Uh-huh.
And you looked at Hank's team and his scoring and his record, and I told you that Hank had a chance at the championship last year, and he made a trade where he gave away, like, let's say 25 auction dollars this year to try and win the championship last year. I think you might look at all of that and be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense, and would explain, like, sort of where Hank's at. And then you would still look at his record and be like, well, he might still make the playoffs despite that.
Right.
And, like, none of that's an unreasonable thing to think. So I guess my point is, what's going to break all of this? Among other – I mean, there's a lot of ways that all of this falls apart, and, like, nobody ever wants to make a deal like this again. But one of the easier and potentially likely ways is that, like, someone like me who is banking on winning this year ends up, like, sneaking into the playoffs with a bad team next year.
Right.
And, like, I think that would just – rub everybody sort of the wrong way and be like, oh, well, we clearly don't know the value of a dollar. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less. It would just antagonize something to act differently, which would probably be valuable.
Yeah. And And I'll, the only thing I'll add to that is that I guess this year I was I think I was the second most. Did somebody give up? I lost 10 from last year.
I think I gave up more. Five. I gave up more to get Juju and
Yes. Right. But I mean, I gave up 10 and I thought that was going to hamstring me. And
it evidently has not.
Yeah, exactly. So who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Maybe things just are evening themselves out.
Yeah. Who do you think won in our league, not in the NFL? Who do you think wins the trade deadline? Do you think anyone gets like a substantial bump in the at the trade deadline from moves today?
Real NFL?
No, like owners in our league.
Oh, in our league.
Like you mentioned, Johnny probably gets some residual out of the Detroit offense.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. The big one was Tate. I don't know who has Tate, but that's a downgrade.
I don't think
Jeffrey. That's like a down. I mean, they're just more mouse defeated Philly, so I don't know if that helps anybody. Well, that probably helps you with Carson.
Yeah, who I really haven't. I've only played once, I think.
I think he'll be. I think he'll be good. He'll be good rest of the way, and Johnny probably with Galladay, but I mean he's out this year, so I don't think it really changes too much.
Yeah, maybe whoever picks up Redskins D off the waiver wire, maybe they win.
I think somebody has them already.
You're right. Trey does.
That was a good trade for the Skins. Actually, I like that move. And also the 1 year where I barely watched any Skins games really, and haven't been as focused on it. We're like 5-2 and number one. So
yeah, definitely a solid start for the Skins. Looking like they might hold on to the NFC East.
Yeah, AP, man. Just proving it. What, Hank and I played in a soccer game yesterday, and I felt really sore today. And I was like, damn, it's getting old. And then I look at AP, fucking, you know, sorry, excuse my language.
We'll bleep that out.
Well, how old is he? 34, 33?
Just, yeah.
That 60-yard touchdown run he had, man, that guy was moving, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can keep it up.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're like, oh, these are just, you know, professional athletes. This is what they do. But when you step back and think about it, it's like, no, that has to hurt anybody.
Yeah. Well, they got the best trainers, best, you know, equipment, everything. Yeah. So maybe if I had that, I'd feel a little better, but.
Maybe. Yeah. All right.
That's all I got to do. Yoga.
Before I let you go. Yeah, that's right. That's what the yoga's for. Last question before I let you go. Do you have any good Halloween costumes?
Do I have any good Halloween? I am terrible at Halloween costumes.
Me too.
So, you know, somebody asked me what I was going to wear to work tomorrow. I was like, I'm going to wear what I normally wear.
Yeah.
Why? Like, or what, are we supposed to be dressing up in like panda costumes and going to work? So no, I'm terrible at it. If I were to dress up anything, I would be really lame and be like a golfer or something and just throw on like a hat and a glove. It'd be Tiger Woods.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna follow your lead. I'm just gonna dress like it's any other day.
You absolutely need to dress up. It's power move, right? What is this, week two?
Week two, yeah.
You absolutely need set to dress
the tone.
Up.
Yeah, somebody was telling me today that they interviewed for our firm last year, and their final interview day was Halloween, and in the email with like the interview information, it said it's Halloween. Everybody in the office will be dressed up. We encourage you to dress up as well as the interviewer.
Oh, man.
And they were like, there's no chance in hell. Like, I was never going to dress up. There's no good idea that I could ever come up with. I was never going to do it. But they showed up for the interview in a suit and tie or whatever. And sure enough, everybody that interviewed them was dressed up as, like, Mickey Mouse or whatever. And they said That's it was amazing. So hard to take somebody seriously, like, in a formal back and forth interview response, knowing that they were dressed as a cartoon character or whatever it was. I will not be setting any wild tones despite that story.
Well, that's amazing. Sounds like it's a good office culture.
Yeah, so far so good. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's good to hear.
All right, well, cool. We'll let you get some food and
thank you, sir.
I'll go sign up for a yoga class.
Yes. Absolutely. And then we'll discuss next time on the pod.
All right. Sounds good. Good luck this weekend.
All right. Thanks, man. See ya.